Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafi anbiya'ihi. May Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of all prophets of Allah, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu, and likewise that of his family and companions, all of them in entirety, and all of those who have true religious loyalty to him. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then on this day, the third day of the month of Dhul-Qi'dah, in the year 1437, we gather here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal locally in the city of Pittsburgh and online through Telelink with our noble respected brothers in the state of Florida through the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida. May Allah Ta'ala grant them success. And we return to our study of the great book Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, by the great scholar of Islam, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Tamimi, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah the Most High have mercy upon him. And we are of course reading through the explanation of the exemplary scholar of modern times, al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah the Most High have an abundance of mercy upon him. We have reached page 58 of my printed version, that which at the top of it begins our topic for today, and that is at-tawakkul, placing one's trust in Allah Ta'ala as a form of worship. And the author in Al-Usul Al-Thalatha has been mentioning issues, individual acts of worship, to broaden our understanding of what ibadah means, worship. As some people, when you ask them what is ibadah, they say sujood, prostrating. The meaning of shirk is prostrating to idols. And they limit their understanding of what it means to worship to just one or a very select number of instances of worship. And we need to be aware of all of the different manifestations of worship, inwardly and outwardly, in speech, and in interactions with our heart and in actions. We need to know about all of them, because we say, La ilaha illallah. None deserves worship other than Allah. So it's not befitting for us to denounce something that we don't know the definition of. We denounce all worship directed to anyone besides Allah, yet we are limited in our understanding of what the meaning of worship is. So it is important that we know all of the different manifestations that worship comes with. And if we don't, what happens? We claim that all of our worship is for Allah, but we will begin directing acts of worship to other than Allah, saying, I didn't know that that was worship. I didn't know taking an oath in the name of someone was worship. I didn't know slaughtering an animal in the name of someone was worship. I didn't know this and that was worship. And we begin to fall into polytheism, and may Allah Ta'ala save us, our children and our families, from worshipping other than Allah Ta'ala. The author states, وَدَلِيلُ التَّوَكُّلِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for tawakkul, placing one's trust in someone, meaning in Allah here, as an act of worship, is the statement of Allah. The evidence for this is the statement of Allah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا, and upon Allah place your trust, all of you, إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you are indeed believers. From Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 23rd verse. وَقَالَ, and he said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, and whoever places his trust fully upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Then Allah is sufficient for the one who places his trust. That is from Surah At-Talaq, the 3rd verse. In explanation of this passage, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala stated, "Atawakkalu 'ala shay'i al-i'timadu 'alayhi." Placing one's trust upon something is al-i'timad, and it should not have a hamza written there. It should be hamza wasal, al-i'timad, not al-i'timad, but al-i'timad. And that is to lean on something, to trust something, to rely upon it. Al-i'timad, to take it as your umud, to take it as your pillar that you lean on. وَتَوَكُّلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and placing one's trust upon Allah the Most High means al-i'timadu. Again, the hamza should be hamzat wasal, not hamzat qata'. Al-i'timadu ala Allahi ta'ala kifayatan wa hasban. It is to rely upon Allah the Most High, kifayatan wa hasban. Understanding that to be enough and sufficient. Fi jalbil manafi', attaining all matters of benefit. Wa daf'il madar, and in keeping away all harmful matters. وَهُوَ مِنْ تَمَامِ الْإِيمَانِ وَعَلَامَاتِهِ, and it's from the completeness of one's iman, of one's faith, and it's from the signs of iman. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, due to the statement of Allah the Most High, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, upon Allah place your trust if you are indeed mu'mineen, if you are indeed believers. If you are indeed possessors of iman, that iman requires you to place your trust upon Allah. The Shaykh says, وَإِذَا صَدَقَ الْعَبْدُ فِي اِعْتِمَادِهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and if a servant is truthful in his placing of his trust upon Allah, and there you see it written correctly, فِي اِعْتِمَادِهِ, hamzat wasal, not hamzat qata, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَا أَهَمَّهُ. If he truly does that, then Allah will suffice him for everything that he is concerned about. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, due to the statement of Allah the Most High, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, and whoever places his trust solely upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Then Allah will be sufficient for him. أَيْ كَافِيهِ, that means enough for him. ثُمَّ طَمْأَنَ الْمُتَوَكِّلَ بِقَوْلِهِ, and then Allah provided more reassurance to the one who places his trust through his statement بِقَوْلِهِ, when he said إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ, verily Allah is going to enact his orders. From Surah At-Talaq, the third verse. فَلَا يُعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٌ أَرَادَهُ, and so nothing that he wants to take place will be out of his capability. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ تَوَكُّلَ أَنْوَاعٌ, have knowledge that tawakkul, placing your trust, is of different types. الْأَوَّلُ, the first type. أَتَوَكُّلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, placing one's trust in Allah, the Most High. وَهُوَ مِنْ تَمَامِ الْإِيمَانِ, it is from the completeness of one's iman. وَعَلَامَاتِ صِدْقِهِ, and from the signs of his truthfulness in that iman. وَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ, and it is an obligation. لَا يَتِمُّ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِهِ, iman is not attained or completed except through it. وَسَبَقَ دَلِيلُهُ, and the evidence for that has already preceded. الثاني, the second kind of tawakkul, tawakkulu sirr, the secret kind of tawakkul, inner and sublime kind of tawakkul, bi an ya'tamida ala mayyitin fi jalbi manfa'atin, like when a person relies upon a dead person for the attainment of some benefit, aw daf'i madarra, or repelling some harm. Fahadha shirkun akbaru, this is major polytheism, to have that reliance. And it's sublime and secret. And a person may say, أَنَا أَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, he may say, I, myself, place my trust completely upon Allah, and I don't make shirk in my tawakkul. But this is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the claim. The Shaykh says, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَقَعُ إِلَّا مِنْ مَنْ يَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ لِهَذَا الْمَيِّتِ تَصَرُّفًا سِرِّيًا فِي الْكَوْنِ. This kind of tawakkul, placing one's trust or connecting one's trust to a dead person, it only happens when one believes that that dead person has some interaction with the world that we live in. وَلَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ أَنْ يَكُونَ نَبِيًّا. And there is no difference whether the one that you place your trust on with this kind of tawakkul is a prophet, أَوْ وَلِيًّا, or a righteous person, أَوْ طَاغُوتًا, or a transgressor. The worst of the taghut are those who ask to be worshipped besides Allah, those who are pleased with being worshipped as deities besides Allah. عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. Whether he's a taghut, an enemy of Allah the Most High, or a wali or a nabi, or a righteous person or a nabi. Meaning whether they are happy with such an action or not. Whether they are pleased with it and request it, or they have never done that. And you find this manifested in some people. You find them, of course, with this kind of tawakkul, you find dua along with it. Supplications being addressed to the one the person really has his trust upon. And you may find amongst people in certain cultures, they say, this wali here, this saint, this grave, or this prophet, or such and such angel, that when you mention him or her, and you use them and draw close to them, you'll find that if you want your wife to get pregnant, she'll be pregnant. Because this one can interact, and this one can do something for you. And they spread testimonials, not facts, but testimonials in favor of those that they trust besides Allah, those that they rely upon besides Allah, and all of that is shirk, and the Muslim must be warned of all of that. الثالثُ, the third kind of tawakkul, atawakkulu ala al-ghayri, to trust someone else, fima yatasarrafu fihi al-ghayru, in relationship to that which that person can do and interact with, meaning a live person who's capable of doing something, and you put your trust in him. مَعَ الشُّعُورِ بِعُلُوِ مَرْتَبَتِهِ, while a person senses when he does so, that person doing that thing has a very high status. وَانْحِطَاطِ مَرْتَبَةِ الْمُتَوَكِّلِ عَنْهُ, and the lower status, you feel that you, trusting this person and relying upon this person, you are lowered and you are less than him. Example, مِثْلَ أَنْ يَعْتَمِدَ عَلَيْهِ فِي حُصُولِ الْمَعَاشِ, like when a person relies on someone to provide for them their necessities in life. وَنَحْوِهِ, and other things. فَهَذَا نَوْعٌ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَارِ, this is a kind of lesser shirk. Meaning when the hopes and the tawakkul is attached to that person to a lesser degree, لِقُوَّةِ تَعَلُّقِ الْقَلْبِ بِهِ, as the Shaykh says, because of the strength of the connection of a person's heart to that person. وَلِاعْتِمَادِ عَلَيْهِ, and that Hamza came back. And the i'timad, the reliance upon him. And what the Shaykh is referring to, and perhaps for us in the Western lands, a more obvious manifestation or one that is more familiar to us, is when people may come to who they deem to be a religious person, and they say to you, make dua for me. And they feel that, what? You are pious, and you pray in the masjid, and you do certain acts of worship. So you have a connection with Allah, and they are unable to have that connection. They perhaps don't ask Allah for what they're asking you to make dua for. Perhaps they have given up asking Allah, believing themselves to be too weak and too distant from Allah. And they ask sometimes, maybe some of our brothers know about this, putting heavy amounts of trust in a person to go to Mecca and make Hajj. And they'll give you a list of things. Here's a list of things. Make dua for this and for that and for this and for that. While Allah Ta'ala is close to all of His servants and He answers the supplication of every supplicant. You find people putting a lot of hope and a lot of i'timad. That's the tawakkul that we're talking about. in that person in going to a certain place or performing a certain act of worship and making dua for that person. It also manifests in when we interact with people and they say, I need someone to do a ruqyah for my son or for my daughter or for my family member who's not well. Why do they need someone to do the ruqyah? Because they feel unworthy. They feel they can't read Quran or they don't know how to do the ruqyah and so on. And they put their trust heavily in the raqi, the one who reads the Quran. And there are a lot of charlatans out there who will take their money and read Quran for them. When the closeness of Allah Ta'ala is real and the recitation of the Quran itself is a ruqyah, supplication with tawheed, asking Allah alone, no partners, directly is the best kind of ruqyah. No better ruqyah than this. The recitation of the speech of Allah and dua with tawheed. Nothing better than this, no matter how sinful or pious a person is. That is the very best situation in this world, that a person connects with Allah Ta'ala through dua, supplication, turning to Him in times of need. What happens when people over-rely on someone doing the ruqyah for them is that they place all their trust in that ruqyah. And they say, now I'm going to be okay because so-and-so did the ruqyah for me. You get the idea? They may read Quran themselves a lot, but feel like it will never have an effect. But when so-and-so, Fulan the Raqi, the professional ruqyah maker, he came and read the Quran, now they feel differently. They feel like now things are going to be better. They have an assurance, they have a trust, they have a level of tawakkul. Now we got the right guy to do the ruqyah, so things are going to be okay. With a footnote, it is permissible to request a ruqyah. However, the one who has the ruqyah requested from him, because of this issue we're studying right now, what should he do firstly and foremostly? Should he jump at the opportunity and say, yes, I will read the Quran for you? When you see them clearly saying, like, we need you, and maybe we are not good enough to read Quran and ask Allah to heal so and so, what would the Raqi do, Ya Aba Maryam? Inform them of the closeness of Allah, and that Allah responds to the supplications, because this is what they're missing really when they come to you asking for ruqyah. Tell them that you can ask Allah and Allah can respond to you, right? And this is first and foremost in the life of a Muslim. In fact, it's from the attributes of those who have perfected their iman, right? From the 70,000 that enter paradise, bila hisabin wala adab, no punishment and no accountability. How do they enter paradise? With these four attributes. Alladhina la yastarqun. They don't seek the ruqyah from someone else. They don't ask for a ruqyah. It doesn't mean la yarqun. And there's a narration with la yarqun, which is not authentic, that they don't do the ruqyah. No, they don't seek a ruqyah from someone else. Because they have what? Quwwat al-i'timad ala Allahi wahda. They have a strength in their reliance upon Allah alone. And so when they need a ruqyah, they make the ruqyah for themselves. And they don't lower themselves to another human being asking for the ruqyah and asking for something. وَلَا يَكْتَوُونَ. And they don't use cauterization as a medical treatment. وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. And they don't believe in omens. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they place their trust firmly upon Allah. Look at those matters being connected to tawakkul. Firstly, no belief in omens. When you believe in omens, the bird went this way. Number 13, Friday the 13th, we're on the 13th floor of the building, and so on, these kinds of things. Black cat ran in front of me, and all of a sudden you feel now you're in danger. Where is your tawakkul? Where is your i'timad kulli? Where is your complete reliance upon Allah? Those matters won't harm you. They're wahmi. They're not even real. They don't have any basis. The 13th floor of a building is one above the 12th and one under the 14th. No more and no less. No special connection to any harm or benefit is that 13th floor. And as a side note, isn't it amazing that we live in a land of people who, for the majority of them, they say, we don't believe in superstitions and religions and things like this. Yet they refuse to build a building and put number 13 on the 13th floor. Well, rather, they'll rename the 13th floor, floor number 14. So it's really the 13th floor, but they just call it the 14th floor. Look how silly they have become in their true belief in superstitions and their silly, pathetic attempts to flee from the superstitions that are absolutely whimsical and baseless. Wallahu al-musta'an. Look what happens when your tawakkul is breached, when you don't trust upon Allah completely as a Muslim. Look how you fear the most insignificant and baseless things. There are people who really fear those things. And they'll place their i'timad, they'll place their trust upon things that are baseless. Like what? I have a rabbit's foot on my keychain. Why? Because it will defend these, you know, negative energies and it will bring me good luck. I have a horseshoe over one of the doorways in my house. What's that for? It's to bring good luck and good fortune to the family. And so they believe in certain numbers being positive numbers and certain insignificant things that have no connection to reality. And they are faithful. They are very much connected to those things. They are serious with their tawakkul on those things. And for the Muslims, we have our tawakkul upon Allah Ta'ala, not these silly things or anything like them. So that's the third kind of tawakkul, that is that kind of tawakkul upon a person or a thing that does something for you, but you over-rely on that person. You might say out of your mouth, a woman might say about her husband, had it not been for you, we wouldn't be eating. Because he went out and provided and brought home groceries. So she says, thank you so much. If it weren't for you working this job and, you know, working hard for us, we wouldn't have anything to eat. We say, la shirkun asghar. That's a shirk. You don't mean to say what you just said. And you don't mean the meanings behind that. What you mean to say is, alhamdulillah, the one who provided for us through your work. That's what you mean to say, and you mean to stop there. You don't want to say, without this hard work, we wouldn't be eating. No, your provisions from Allah would come to you. With the work of your husband or through other avenues, they would come to you. So do not have an over-reliance, an over-thankfulness, or too much gratitude for the means and the pathways through which the provisions of Allah Ta'ala come to you. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh says, أَمَّا لَوْ اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَيْهِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ سَبَبٌ. And if a person were to rely on someone because they are the normal means or avenue through which something takes place, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الَّذِي قَدَّرَ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ يَدِهِ. And it is Allah the Most High that has brought about that through His Qadr from the hands of that person. As mentioned, you thank your husband and you say, praise be to Allah alone, the one who has provided for us through your job and your work and so on. Then, فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ. There's no problem with that kind of tawakkul. However, that using the word tawakkul for that, rather a tawkil and al-wikala is for the creation. Putting someone as a deputy, someone in charge of something, your representative in a business contract, or someone who does something on your behalf, that's called tawkil, not tawakkul, right? Not placing your trust upon them as worship, but appointing them to behave as your representative, and Allahu Ta'ala knows best. Al-Rabi'u, the fourth kind of tawakkul, is a tawakkulu ala al-ghayri fi ma yatasarrafu fihi al-mutawakkal bihaythu yunibu ghayrahu. The permissible, absolutely permissible kind of tawakkul, but as I mentioned to you, better to be called tawkil and not tawakkul, mentioning placing your trust on someone, trusting someone to do something he can do, بِحَيْثُ يُنِيبُ غَيْرَهُ. And he trusts someone by appointing him to do something. فِي أَمْرٍ تَجُوزُ فِيهِ النِّيَابَةُ. In an affair that it's allowed to appoint people to do those things for you. فَهَذَا لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ. This is something that is not problematic. بِدِلَالَةِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ. By proofs from the book, the sunnah and consensus. فَقَدْ قَالَ يَعْقُوبُ لِبَنِيهِ. As Ya'qub said to his children, يَا بَنِيَّ اِذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ. Oh, my sons, go and try to find some report, try to find some news about Yusuf and his brother. From Surah Yusuf, verse number 87. What that means is Ya'qub sent his children on his behalf to go get news about his son. ووكل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على الصدقة عمالا وحفاظا. And the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, entrusted some workers and some watchers to protect and take care of the sadaqah, meaning the zakat monies, baytul mal. وَوَكَّلَ فِي إِثْبَاتِ الْحُدُودِ وَإِقَامَتِهَا. And he also placed some people in charge of establishing the punishments, the judiciary punishments, وَإِقَامَتِهَا, establishing them as cases and then implementing them. وَوَكَّلَ عَلِيَّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, entrusted Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, fi hadihi, as it relates to his sacrificial animals, fi hajjat al-wada', in the farewell pilgrimage, an yatasaddaqa bi juludiha wa jilaliha, to give in charity the skins and the remaining parts of the animals, wa an yanhara ma baqiya min al-mi'a, and for him, Ali, to slaughter the remaining animals, those that remain from the 100 animals, ba'da an nahara sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi yadihi 63, after he, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, slaughtered by his own hands 63 animals. Wa amma al-ijma'u, and as for consensus, ala jawazi dhalik, regarding the permissibility of that, entrusting affairs to other people, fa ma'lumun, it's well known, min حيث الجملة, in a general way, something well known to all of the people. We'll suffice ourselves with this amount of material for this session, thanking Allah Ta'ala for the benefit that we have received, asking Him to increase us in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and asking for His refuge from knowledge that doesn't benefit and actions that are a source of agony for us in the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If our brothers in Florida have any questions on the topic, corrections of errors that I've made, or important comments that help and enrich our discussion, they are free to present them at this time. You're asking me about the ruqya, and certain people having more of an effect with ruqya?
No, based on their iman and their
ruqya. Ahsan, tayyib. Ahsan, tayyib. We affirm that nam, indeed there are people whose dua, they are mustajabin al-da'wa. There are people whose dua is answered. And there are people whose dua is rejected based on their level of piety. Why is dua accepted? Because of a person's iman, his ikhlas, his tawakkul, his closeness to Allah, his obedience to Allah, as comes in the hadith of the wali, collected by Imam al-Bukhari and narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the station of wilaya, the station of being a wali, being a close ally of Allah. He said that Allah said, and therefore this is a hadith qudsi, the speech of Allah being narrated by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever has animosity for a wali of mine, then I announce war upon him. And this station, because it's lofty and desired by every believer, it's been outlined in the same hadith. مَا يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant does not draw closer to me with anything more beloved to me than the duties that I have imposed upon him. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my servant goes on doing actions of an optional nature, legislated acts of worship that are optional and not required, until I love him. There's that station of wilaya, that you go on worshipping Allah beyond just the obligations, beyond the minimum, and you go into optional acts done out of love and hope and ambition and fear. And Allah Ta'ala accepts these from you, and He grants you a station of closeness to Him. And as He said, وَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ فَكُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. And if I love him, then I am the hearing that he hears with. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And I am the sight that he sees with. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And the hand that he strikes with. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي عَلَيْهَا. And the foot that he walks upon. Meaning, all of those things are guided with special guidance and protected with special protection from Allah Ta'ala. He sees what is pleasing to Allah. He hears what is pleasing to Allah. He uses his hand to give in charity and to establish things that are in line with what Allah is pleased with, and he walks upon his foot in matters that are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا إِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if he were to ask me for anything, then I would give it to him. وَلَا إِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. If he were to seek my protection or refuge from something, then I would surely grant him my refuge. This is called the hadith of the wali, the hadith of the pious person. And every believer, كل مؤمن تقي فهو ولي. Every pious believer, he is a wali. He is a wali, a close ally of Allah, one drawn close to Allah through his piety. What does that mean? That there are people who have exerted themselves in love and ambition to receive acceptance from Allah, in fear of Allah, and so on. And they are close to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala answers their dua where and when he may not answer the dua of others. And there are other people on the opposite end of the scale, Muslims, who worship Allah alone, yet their dua is rejected. Why? وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. His clothing is haram, his food is haram, his drink is haram, he's been nourished with haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. So how would he be answered? This is while a man may have some pious actions, like the hadith that this has been extracted from. He comes to Allah being a traveler, أَشْحَثَ أَغْبَرَ, disheveled and dirty. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He puts his hands up to the heavens. All of these are good deeds. He's asking who? Allah and others with shirk? He's asking Allah alone with tawheed, saying, Ya Rabbi, calling upon Allah with rububiyyah. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ, as described, his food, his drink, his nourishment, all of that's haram. So how could he get an answer? So yes, indeed, there are some Muslims whose dua is rejected. There are some Muslims whose dua is answered. And there are many stages of people who are sometimes answered and sometimes their dua is rejected. So there is the basis for us to say that an impious person can seek the assistance of a pious person who's alive and capable of making dua in his favor. What we're talking about today is over-relying on that and placing one's trust in that in a way where the weaker person who's asking for help from whom he deems to be a more pious person puts all his trust in that dua. And you may find it through follow-up, right? When you went to Arafat, did you read that paper I sent with you? Are you sure? Did you ask for that thing I mentioned about my grandmother and my aunt and this and that and every single thing, right? Asking, did you do that? So here, as it relates to the Raqi, let's go to the question specifically. Are there some people who read Qur'an and due to their reading of the Qur'an and their supplications and their ruqya, which is essentially reading Qur'an, asking for healing from Allah Ta'ala, perhaps applying olive oil, perhaps reading directly on a body part, perhaps placing one's right hand on the body part and things like this? Are there some people who have a better probability of being responded to? Yes, the more pious the person, the better. And I warn you, and I don't like to go into this a lot, I warn you because we live in a time where there are so many dajjals, so many fake charlatans that will come and say, we have ruqya services. A man may have a ruqya office. And I would nearly guarantee to you that anyone who presents himself as a reader or someone who has an office and someone who gives you a business card and it says the ruqya reader, or you know, he presents himself as someone who offers these services, almost always you find this person to be a shaitan, some kind of deceiver, some kind of deceptive person, just out to swindle the poor, ignorant Muslims out of their money. And these kinds of people are not to be sought out. If it is a must that you ask someone for a ruqya, and again, it's encouraged that you rely upon your supplication to Allah alone. You rely on Allah Ta'ala alone and not ask someone else. But if you must, you don't ask a person who offers the ruqya services. You ask a pious person who may not be comfortable with you asking him for that ruqya. He may say, why are you asking me? Why don't you make dua? But this is the one you want if you are going to ask another person to make dua for you. Not the one who sets himself up as the ruqya service. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from charlatans. I say that because there are so many in today's time. Be warned. Our ulama warn us against these charlatans and these frauds. Be warned about these people. If someone read a ruqya for you, whether you requested it or not, and then afterwards you became healed by the permission of Allah, then for you to thank Allah, you give that person a gift. Because thanking the people is part of thanking Allah Ta'ala. So you thank Allah Ta'ala by showing happiness, by praying in favor of that person, asking Allah to reward that person, and as well giving him a gift, but identifying that the source of the healing was where? The source of the healing is Allah Ta'ala alone. And it's not that person who healed you. It's not that person who removed the harm from your way. It's that person who invoked Allah, Rabbul Alameen, and Allah Ta'ala responded. So the thanks, the gratitude, all of that goes to Allah Ta'ala. And then in this world, we offer tokens of appreciation and words of thanks and our supplications in favor of those who have extended help to us. And I advise all of my brothers and sisters, their families, everyone to be very cautious about the gimmicks and the charlatans that are out there. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. May Allah Ta'ala grant you all success. We'll see you insha'Allah Ta'ala in 1 week's time to continue our study of Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.